So, hello everybody. Welcome back to another episode. I'm back with Kalyan today. So, Kalyan is a podcaster and author of the book The Traveling Belly, Food and a Food and Travel Writer. So, thank you very, very much for being here. It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you very much.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for inviting me, Lachlan. Thank you.
Indeed, it's my pleasure. I would say, because I just wanted to know about what you do in more in detail and explore more about the work you do. So before we begin, Kalyan, it would be great if you could let us know about your work and how did you get into and started food traveling and writing about it and all of that.
Okay, so you know what, Lakshita, I believe you're based in Bangalore. So I started my career actually in market research, consumer market research, after my MBA way back in 1997. And
Okay.
at that time I was in Calcutta, and I said Bangalore because my first trip on work was to Bangalore, where we want to do some focus groups and so on. Then in 2007 is when I was I was good at my work, but I was getting a bit bored and I wanted to do something different. And at that time, this entire phenomenon of blogs had started. So my wife, who's in advertising, she suggested that I open a blog. She named it also Find Me Chopped. So I started writing there. And at that time, it was a pure hobby. So my work continued to be market research. And I continued to come to Bangalore, among many other things. And I would write about, so the blog was like my diary. So at daytime, I'd be at work. And at night, I'd go back home and write about what I'd eaten that day, or if I traveled somewhere, what I'd eaten over there, if I'd cooked something, or if I met someone interesting. I'd write about that, and work continued. And then in 2012, 13 is when I decided to give food writing a serious sort of look. So that's when I made a career transition. And then and then based on my blog, I guess, then slowly things began to happen. Like you mentioned, the book. So the book contract happened when the book came out in 2015. I got to work with magazines and publications. Write columns for them, work with brands, sometimes as endorsers or what you call influencers today. And now what I do is I work by myself. So I write a lot of the content I create is for myself on my publishing platforms. And then that leads to client work. I also do consulting with clients where I sort of put my market research and food writing experience together and do it. And apart from that, I think very recently, not that recent, it's been a year now, we've become cat parents, around the lockdown. So I guess a lot of my time goes into sort of looking after them and being with them. So yeah, that's me.
Okay, so it just started with all of them. You were doing work and traveling to Bangalore, exploring about food, and then your wife, starting a blog, and then you
Yeah.
joining her in
I mean,
her.
I'm not just Bangalore. I mentioned Bangalore because you're based in Bangalore, but my work would take me to all the big cities of India. And I forgot to mention that when I started working, I moved from Calcutta to Bombay. I would also travel sometimes internationally on work, but yes, about writing about all of that.
Okay. Cool. And so, when you discovered of the joy of writing about food, when you discovered that how fun it was to write about your day and what you ate at that day, how did in the start, how was it for you? How interesting or how boring was it for you?
Not boring at all. I loved it. In fact, I got into it. I started blogging because I wanted to do something which I'd enjoy doing, because sometimes you don't necessarily always enjoy your work, but you need to do work. So I was looking for something which you enjoy. And ever since my childhood, I was very fond of reading, fiction especially. I was very fond of writing. I was in schools in the beginning where creative writing was encouraged. In college, I'd studied the social sciences, I'd studied sociology. So I liked all of that. So when I started, and also when I was a teenager, I would have diaries and so on, which of course I'd hide from people then. But in blogging is very different. You want people to read it. But I really enjoyed it, that telling people about what you ate, what you cooked, writing about it. And with time, of course, probably one became a bit better. And then there were no new medium, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Reels, TikTok. So you have to reinvent yourself. So sometimes that's been a good challenge. Then there's video. So I enjoy video. And during the lockdown, there's a lot which one has been doing oneself, like, for example, the podcast you're finding that you do for. So I do a podcast weekly, podcast where I speak with women in the food business. And now I've sort of, you know, with Instagram Reels, I just take the phone, and if I'm eating something, shoot it or shoot myself while eating it, put it up. It's fun. It's if you enjoy what you're doing, then it's definitely fun.
Yeah, it is definitely fun. And when you discover so many parts of India and so many different kind of cuisines and the way people eat and the people we consume it, so just take me through. I've not been to a lot of Indian cities. I've been to Chennai. I live in Bangalore. I've been to, say, Delhi and just, I think, one more, Mumbai. So I've just explored 4-5 cities. That's it in India. So for you, when you said you've been to work trips in a lot of different places, how does the food is and how does the flavors of the same dish you eat different places, how does it taste now, this things change and all of that?
Well, actually, it's not that you've not traveled at all, because from Bangalore, Chennai, Delhi, Bombay is not that bad. I think all of us at a particular age travel that much, or, you know, with our parents for holidays, and, you know, then it's they who decide what it is. So I think with work, I was lucky enough to travel. In my initial years in market research, it was more to the big cities of India, which is Delhi, Bangalore, a bit of Chennai, a bit of Kolkata. I would keep going back because I'm from there. I think it's when I moved into food writing that I also started exploring the comparatively smaller cities, not very small, but Surat, Mangalore, Amritsar, and Pune, and so on, which, again, like I said, I mean, they're not that small. But work doesn't always take you over there. And I think that, when you go to different parts of the country, there is definitely a huge variety of food. And the food which you get in Bengaluru would be very different from Chennai. Forget Delhi, Bombay, or Calcutta. I mean, if you take the same dish, one name, which is the biryani. You know, the biryani which you'll get in the, the Rangana Military Cafe, or Shivaji Cafe in the Military Hotel in Bangalore would be very different from the Dindigul biryani at Chennai at Thalakapetty, or the Calcutta biryani which you get at Shiraz Dhaminia, Lucknow at Wahid's. Hyderabad again would be very different. In fact, in Hyderabad you get the Nizam's sort of Muslim biryani at places like Shadab, Shaghouse, and then you get the Andhra biryani. So it's very different. But I think that what is common across India is that we love our food and we love to feed people. So there have been so many times that I've landed at places where I don't know people, and I might have gone into a restaurant by myself. But if I'd ask around, if I'd ask them what is good to eat, or tell me what do you order, what should I this thing and all that, people love that. People love that. And our food is very high on flavor, which doesn't necessarily mean masala and oils. For example, I've traveled a bit to the Northeast, like Assam and so on, where the food is very different because it depends more on, the local ingredients and the herbs and spices, not too much of oil, not too much of, powdered spices. But yet within that also there's a flavor. So I think one needs to travel with a very open mind. And you're lucky in a city like Bengaluru, because there's a fair amount of variety of regional Indian food you get at places like Koramangala, Indranagar, and all of that. So sometimes even within one's own cities, one can explore local food. And the other beautiful thing which has happened, I don't know if you've picked it up, is that during the lockdown, there were a lot of home chefs who started, selling food from their houses. And the beauty of that was that in most cities across India, these people came from different parts of India. So therefore, sitting in Bombay, suddenly, I got exposed to food from Kerala, food from Mangalore, food from Maharashtra, food from Orissa, Assam, Madhya Pradesh, Gujarat, everywhere sitting in one place. And this is happening across the cities of India. So I think that that gives us a chance to also try out the immense variety which Indian food offers.
Mm-hmm. And have you, for example, have you ever explored the taste different? When you see, when you eat idli in Bangalore, it would taste different. When you go to Bombay and eat the same idli from the same person, it would taste different. Have you ever have that thing?
Oh yes. In fact, I must tell you that I used to hate idlis. Because see, when I was growing up in Calcutta, then we'd go to South Indian vegetarian restaurants, I'll have dosa and the medu vada because, you know, they're nice and crunchy. Idli seemed a bit boring. If just like. Then when I came to Bombay, there Bombay has a lot of South Indian restaurants across the city.
Yeah.
And most of them are pretty average. So, you know, the idlis which you get in the most of the restaurants, if someone's attacking you or something like that, you can take the idli and just throw it at them and they'll smash into pieces. So they're like really tough and rubbery. So then what happened was that once in Hyderabad, people told me that I should go to a restaurant called Chutneys and try the idli over there. And apparently you get four types of, chutneys with the idli and so on. And then I went and I ordered and the idli was so soft, so juicy, so flavorsome with the chutneys that even in a city where, you know, I had lovely biryanis and all of that as a meat eater, but that idli was very memorable. Then, you're talking of Bangalore. So in Bangalore, I'd gone to Veena Stores, which is this shop sort of place in the, in the central area of Bangalore. I don't remember where it is, Veena Stores, where the Sheraton Hotel and all that are in that area. But lovely soft idlis. In fact, I've written about that in the Traveling Belly. Or then when I went to MTR and had the Rava Idli for the first time, which is very different because it's made with semolina. And apparently because during the World War, rice was a shortage issue. So they started with idli. So yeah, there are different flavors. And I went to Vijayawada, in Vijayawada, they focus a lot on putting the puri because they like fiery tastes. So, that was different. So it's been interesting. And then having the jackfruit idlis and stuff. So from a dish which I consider to be like extremely boring and unpleasant to eat, I've seen that even such a simple dish can give such a lovely variety.
True. So, and what's the book you have written about? Of course, it's about food and all of that, but what's the main focus and why did you write that?
Okay, so the Traveling Belly, which is the book which I wrote with Hachette Publishing. So it's what one might call a food travelogue. So what is a food travelogue? So it's basically, it's a travel book. It's a book on travel, but with food as a focus. I mean, sometimes you can write a travel book with the local scenery as a focus, or music as a focus, or history as a focus. So mine was about food, and it was really about telling stories of the sort of experiences which I had while traveling across India. So we've covered about 13 cities. A lot of this travel had happened during my market research days, some of it during my food writing days, and of course I've traveled more after that. And it is not meant to be like a comprehensive list or a guidebook or, you know, an expert's conclusion on Indian food or anything like that. It's just that you're going and you're eating and you're writing about it. So obviously, like when I write about places in Mumbai, the city I've stayed in for 20 years, there's a certain depth into it. Versus when I've written about some of the other cities where my visits might have been for 2-3 days and an outsider. So the perspective is different. Or when I've written about places in Calcutta, the city I've grown up in, for some 20 odd years and which I keep going back to, then there's a certain nostalgia which is there when I'm writing about there. So it's different facets, but it's like I said, it's food about 13 cities in India. It's about different restaurants and eateries over there. Most of these are what one would call local food places. So they're not fancy, expensive places. These are places which are, comparatively well affordable and where people go to eat. And sometimes I've tried to understand a bit of the culture of the city through that. Or I've written about interesting stories of encountering people over there, either people making the food or the waiters or the people across the table, a lot of which I miss during the lockdown. But the Traveling Belly is really about that. In fact, again, my wife had named it the Traveling Belly. So, traveling and eating.
Great. Yeah. So, what was your learning about eating different foods? How does it give, what kind of perception does it give you in your life? And how does it help you realize that differences are very beautiful and enjoying all the differences makes you a stronger and happy person. I just think about that. What's your perspective about it?
I completely agree with you on that. I think that food is a great social binder. In fact, I've given a TEDx talk where I'd said the same thing. Mm-hmm. Because you see, I mean, at the end of it, there's a certain physicality of food, which is, you know, what is on the plate in front of you. And you eat it and, you know, there's so much interface, your taste bud fills you, doesn't fills you, helps you sleep better, gives you a lot of acidity. All of that is there. But I think that what food does, it helps bind people. Like I said, if you go to a strange city and you sort of meet someone or you're, you know, whom you know or across the table, and you start talking to them about their food, you show an interest in their food with a sort of sincere sort of curiosity, then they will open up. In fact, if you ask them about other things like their, you know, their studies, their education, profession, marriage, health, they might not want to talk to you about, so much about it or politics. When you talk about food, then they would love to do that. Also, what it does is, it gives you an idea about, the spirit of the place, the sort of ecosystem which is there, the sort of society which is there. Sometimes it shows you that one particular place is very diverse, in some cases very homogeneous. So in fact, when I moved from market research to food writing, initially I wasn't too sure which direction I wanted to take, and that had left me very confused and subdued to an extent, and I was feeling a bit restless. And then I sort of started practicing Buddhism, mm-hmm, as a culture, philosophy, and I'm part of this group called the Soka Gakkai, and I like the philosophy over there of Buddhism, which is about compassion.
Okay.
So Buddhism is a lot about respecting the person in front of you and, mm-hmm, understanding that even that person has his own innate humanity, Buddhahood, and goodness. Yeah. And to sort of put yourself in that person's shoes. So then what I tried to do is that I decided that, okay, what I'm going to do as a writer will be towards that end, to help people understand people who are different from them through their food. So okay, whether it's my book or the columns I wrote for Femina, Times of India, Indian Express, all of that, or the food box which I do, or the podcast which I do, is all about that. Like trying to tell people about food from different parts of India, different parts of the world, show people. So I do, like I said, I do a podcast every week called Foodocracy Far, where I speak to women in the F&B business. And I've been doing this since last April, mm-hmm, in 2020. And what keeps me going there is that, if you see them, their stories are so inspiring. Like in the food and beverage business, most people tend to be men. And we tend to talk about them because, they are in front of you. Yeah. But when you find out the women and you see what they're doing, then it's not that you need to sort of support them or anything like that. Because it's what sort of work they're doing itself is so inspiring. And for everyone. Man, woman, boy, girl, elder person, young person, student, working person. So that's what I try to do through my work, that to spread a bit of hope, spread a bit of joy, and which is a bit different from when I started off. So when I started off, my blog was called Finally Chowed, because I thought at that time, and this was 2007, so 14 years back, I thought that, I'm going to go to different restaurants, and then, there'll be a lot of things which go wrong. So I'm going to come back at night and I'm going to find each of them and say, what is wrong? What is this thing? But I think that over the years, I just felt happier talking about happier stories. Sometimes I do come across things which is not that good. Then sometimes I try to just give them feedback in private. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's
great. Great. And so which is your, which is the ingredient which you liked finely chopped?
This is the ingredient I like finely chopped. I would say ginger and garlic. I mean, both of these, because, you have an option of making a paste of ginger and garlic if you're using it. But I just like to sort of finely chop and put it in because, when you're getting a bite of them when you're eating, then it sort of adds a lot of vitality to the dish.
Yeah.
And also the flavors and everything which come out. So I think for me, If I was not think much and answer straight, it would be that.
Okay.
If I think much, I can also rationalize and say about other stuff.
okay. And what's your favorite dish? You know, after eating so many of different things and about exploring so many dishes, which one would be your favorite?
Yeah, the dish which I say always when I'm asked this question is a slightly unusual dish, which is Hakka noodles. So it's basically the sort of noodles which you've grown up in Calcutta. People now say it's more an Indian dish than Chinese. But my mom used to make it to me when I was a kid. And she actually learned it in England. So it's maybe more a Chinese expat dish, so to speak. But right since my growing up years, it was my favorite dish. And then when I moved to Bombay and when I got married and started cooking, I tried to make it for my wife. The first time was a disaster. Like the noodles had become very, very, very soggy. And I don't know whether we had to find something else to eat that night. But the next morning, I went to Marine Drive, which is like this Diamond Point, this office area in Mumbai where my office was. And I was getting into office, you know, in my office clothes and all that. And there were these couple of young guys making those roadside cart noodles. And I asked them that, how do you get this perfect noodle? So they showed me how to strain it out, how to take it out before it's become soft and all that. And since then, I've really ever got my noodles wrong. I think I make it very well. And sometimes when I need a bit of a pick-me-up, I make it. And it always brings a smile to my face. So yes, I would say it's the Hakka noodles.
Great. So, and anything you would like to tell to anybody who aspires to be an author? Anything you'd like to tell to anybody who inspires to write about food or explore food? Yeah.
Well, the first thing I would say is that you have to be patient, because it takes time to build something out of it. Just as some of your favorite dishes, like you're talking about biryani, you need to give it time to cook. And then the other thing that I would like to say is that, first of all, of course, enjoy what you're doing. Be passionate about that, which goes true for everything. But also try to have your own point of view and perspective, what's called developing your own voice. So, for example, if this, find out what is it that excites you about food, and then write about that. Because if you are excited, chances are you'll be able to excite your reader. If you yourself are not excited, then it's not the poor reader's fault if he's not excited by what you've written. So I think that be patient and develop your own voice. And I would also say be brave. Don't think too much that is this perfect, is this not. Keep writing. If you look at anyone across professions, they always keep evolving, right? Like if you think of your favorite movie stars, footballers, cricketers, I mean, the way they were when they started and the way they were when they became really famous is very, very different.
Yeah. True. So thank you very much for spending your time out and joining me in a wonderful session about
absolute
food
pleasure.
And everything. Thank you very much for joining. It was a pleasure to hear you and talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. And hopefully we might meet over a Bene Dosa at Bangalore or something.
Yeah, hopefully.
Talk face to face.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, totally, hopefully. Thank you very much.